Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the match preview ahead of Wednesday night Merseyside derby. I'm Steve Hall, joined by Chloe and Dan to have a big old chat about Everton versus Liverpool. Dan, Liverpool earned the right for this game to mean something. The derby always means something, but I mean something more. Something more. This means more. I think someone should trademark that. But
yeah, thanks, that.
Someone should use that. It means it's massive for both teams. Obviously, Everton had a good win at the weekend, but they're not mathematically safe, and who knows? Forest could get some points back. It's all up in the air. Liverpool, of course, going for the Premier League title, needs to win all the games to do it. It feels like the most significant derby that I can remember for a long time.
Yeah.
For both teams.
No, I would say so. Yeah, most definitely. And it's felt like this type of derby has been coming for a little while now, because obviously we've been sort of fighting at the upper end of the table, and they've been sort of circling the plug hole for all intents and purposes down the bottom. It's felt like at some point we are going to meet in these type of circumstances whereby, you know, it could mean that we go on to do potentially win the Premier League, and they could well, you know, fall foul of relegation. I think this could well be it. I mean, the result of the weekend of Everton lessens the importance ever so slightly, but, you know, it's wishful thinking to suggest that Everton players or fans are going to come in relaxed and be like, oh, it doesn't really matter what happens, just be blasé about it, because they're still going to be concerned about relegation. But moreover, I think potentially even more importantly than that, from Everton's standpoint, they're going to want to put a big old dent in our title hopes, aren't they? They'd love to be the side that sort of derailed the last possible chance of us winning the league under Jurgen Klopp in front of fans. So yeah, it's absolutely massive. The stakes have never really been higher when it comes to a derby. You know, whether we're, you know, whether we are fighting for this sort of stuff, whether it's eighth against ninth as it has been in years and years gone by, this is a derby and it means absolutely everything regardless when it comes to bragging rights and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's a huge game. I know you want to talk about our record of Goodison not being particularly brilliant, but we've got to put all that to one side. I think Klopp's obviously just done his press, and he mentioned a few different things. One of the things he mentioned, I think he alluded to the fact, doesn't really matter how you're playing at the moment, it's just about getting results. And that's how I feel now. For weeks I've been banging a drum about, I need to see a performance in Liverpool. Don't care about performances anymore, like, and this game is that in a nutshell. Just find a way of getting 3 points and get out of there.
Absolutely. Dan talks about the Liverpool's record that good, there's another Jurgen Klopp, Chloe. You've played 7-1-2, drawn 5. Like, history suggests this game's always a draw. What I would say, I'm going to read the dates out of the times Liverpool have gone to Goodison, just so you know. December in 16, April 2018, the 0-0 draw, of course, where I think Liverpool thought a draw wouldn't be the end of the world. Yeah. March 2019, obviously June 2020 was post-COVID, Liverpool were already the champions at that point. 2-2 in October 2020, again, behind closed doors. That was the mad one where Hendo's goal was ruled out. Mm-hmm. Beat them 4-1 in December 21 and then drew 0-0 early last season. A lot of those games are at dates where you could probably forgive the manager thinking, you know what, a draw at Goodison isn't the worst thing in the world. Given, you know, a September draw or an October draw, you know, there's plenty of times to catch up. I do wonder, because, you know, history suggests this game, it should be a draw based on everything tomorrow night. But given the fact that it's so late in the season, we low the stakes and a draw isn't good enough. I wonder if that changes the mentality, because I do believe at times Liverpool have taken a draw at Goodison as, you know what, it's not the worst thing in the world. Tomorrow it effectively ends your season if they did the same thing.
Yeah, I think we look at them and Old Trafford as being the two games where you don't want to go there having to win.
Yeah.
And yet Liverpool have got five games to go in the Premier League and they have to win all five to even have a chance of winning the title.
Yeah.
So Liverpool have to go there tomorrow and they have to attack it. They have to go for it. And look, absolutely anything but a loss for Everton is a positive. Like, they'd snatch your hand off at a point right now. That to them is a win in their eyes, especially with where they are in the table. Picking up a point against Liverpool is massive for them. For us, we've got to not play the occasion. We can't let it be a thing. We've got to go there. We need to take the sting out of the atmosphere straight away. If we can get on the ball and just settle ourselves into the game for the first 15. But yeah, like you said there, we go to Goodison, and no matter if we've been the better side by absolutely country miles, we still struggle. And a lot of those draws there, we actually could have lost if we wouldn't have had a boss goalkeeper, or if Everton would have actually just decided to put the chances away. Neil Maupay, I'm looking at you there for that one. So Liverpool have to be switched on. They have to go and get the 3 points by any means, do it by any means. And also, you know, make sure that, like, there's no more injuries, there's nothing that can, because Everton will just want to absolutely first 10 minutes just put one on us.
Liverpool have shown class, they have beaten Everton, and we got a comment here actually from Supernova, says, you know, both wins at Goodison have come at night game, so Liverpool have been to Everton on an evening kickoff under lights at Goodison and beat them. Now, one of those was the last kick of the game with Sadio Mane, that was back in, obviously, under this manager, of course, in 2016. And then 2021, we battered them 4-1. Like, that was the one time at Goodison Clough where we've been so much better than them. Everyone knew it, and Liverpool played like they were so much better than Everton. And the fact that they were at 1-1 at any point in that game, sorry, at 2-1 rather, was mad, because we wiped the floor with them. So Liverpool have got experience of going to Everton and dealing with Goodison Park. But it's been, like I say, the record shows this, been very few and far between. Like, they've been able to do it. Are you confident that they can, you know, tomorrow night where they have to win? Like, this isn't a case where you take a draw and we'll move on. Like, they have to win this game.
You can't take a draw in this game. It's that simple. A draw is not good enough. And Liverpool have got themselves in this position, because if they would have beaten Crystal Palace, a draw, even though it would have felt like the end of the world, it probably wouldn't have been the end of the world. And I actually said at the start of the run-in, I gave Liverpool draws against Manchester United away, and I gave them against Goodison away, because Everton away, because that's just what happens. And I did give us a win against Crystal Palace, however, but it's our own fault now that we've got to go there, and anything but a win is disappointing. And like you said there, we've got the knowledge and the know-how of how to do it. We've been able to do it at home when we've got our crowd, but they will make it absolutely vile. It will be a ridiculous atmosphere, you know, and you've got to make sure that the players don't want to hide in those atmospheres. You've got to fight fire with fire, and we've got winners there. You've got the Virgils, you've got the Mo Salahs, you've got Alisson Becker, Robertson, Trent. You've got to get those lads to be saying and telling other people, like the McAllisters, like the Szoboszlais, who haven't been in a Merseyside derby at Goodison before. You've got to get them prepared for it, and you've got to make sure that they fight for absolutely everything on that pitch, and do not start jumping out of tackles at any point, because that won't help you either. That'll just make their crowd go even wild, because one thing that they will most definitely do is put absolutely everything on the line, and go full throttle against Liverpool.
It's absolutely what
in terms of physicality, by the way. I'm not saying in terms of actually playing football.
No, to be fair, let's talk about Everton. They're a set piece team. Like, the percentage of their goals that come from set plays is really, really high. But they did show, to be fair, against Nottingham Forest, you know, a couple of decent goals. They were lucky with a few other things that went their way, as Forest's owner and Mark Clattenburg have stated vehemently elsewhere. But they are the type of team who are comfortable not having the ball. And Goodison will let them not have the ball as long as they're solid. Solid at the back-ish, you know, they don't, in terms of how they set up, they'll try and hit you on the counter, they'll try and play set pieces. That's a team that Liverpool I'd say, you know, not always been easy to play against. Like, Palace kind of did something similar. Mm-hmm. The thing about playing Fulham the other day was Fulham were quite open,
yeah.
and that suited it. I don't think Everton at any point opened this game up, unless it's 10 to go and the 1-0 down. If it's hard to find a world where the game's, it's an open game, it feels like it's going to be a bit of a slog.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think Sunday's win over Fulham wasn't so much a blueprint for Liverpool heading to this one, because I think you're right. I think stylistically they are different, and Fulham are. They play with more freedom than Everton will. Everton are more solid. They are more robust. They do get more men behind the ball and not quite as adventurous in their way. And I think that the numbers speak for themselves, really, when it comes to that. I think Everton have kept the second most clean sheets in the Premier League. They've got like 10 clean sheets, something like that.
In terms of goals against, they barely scored.
So.
That's why they're down there. In terms of goals against, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City are the only teams who have conceded the less few goals than them. Like,
I think it's like 10 clean sheets, maybe 11 even after the weekends.
48 goals they've conceded in 33 games. The fact is they're down there because they can't score.
Exactly. Which shows you that again speaks to the fact that they're not overly adventurous, not particularly attacking, you know, free flowing necessarily. And we'll be aware of that. And you know, we've become used to that. And as much as you're right, and Liverpool's kryptonite has been sides that play with a low block a lot and don't look to come out and don't leave space in behind and all that sort of stuff. We have a team now, albeit it hasn't always proven to be the case, we have a team that's more equipped to come around that and deal with that, because we've got more technicians in midfield, more creators in midfield than we ever used to have. It used to be the engine room, and we needed that space for the likes of Salah and Mane in behind to exploit. That has gone now ever so slightly. We've got your McAllisters, your Szoboszlais, obviously Trent moving into midfield as well. We've got more options when it comes to how to unpick a team that do play in the way that Everton do. So yeah, it's not going to be straightforward for our form. It's certainly not with a crowd. They made Chloe Wright and yourself about the opening 10-15 minutes and sort of overcoming that initial barrage from Everton and that hype around the ground and that sort of stuff. We're definitely going to have to try and dampen that down as quickly as possible. And I thought that is something Liverpool did well at Craven Cottage, albeit it wasn't raucous by any stretch of imagination. But Fulham started the game in the manner whereby, okay, we're going to come to play, and we just negated that perfectly well. So starting the game fast and starting the game on the front foot and really stamping your authority on a game of this magnitude away from home at Everton is absolutely crucial.
Let's speak about them a little bit more, Chloe. We don't know yet, of course. Sean Dyche has, they haven't said too much, but they do have, not only have they had issues scoring goals, there's a chance that both their strikers don't play. Beto is out. I mean, he literally was out, he can't play. He's in hospital with a concussion. Calvert-Lewin took a whack to the knee. They're waiting on him as well. We picked the brains of Pep before, didn't we, from Toffee, and I said, what would you do? And he thinks it would be like a Dan Juma up front on his own. That's a different type of threat. That isn't the big lad holding up, chested down, bring people into play. Dan Juma wants to be on the ball and maybe in behind a little bit. Now, there's a chance Calvert-Lewin does play, but whether he can go 90 minutes, I don't know. You can, you know, going through these options and famous last words, like, you can see why Everton have struggled to score goals. There's nothing there, like, that will keep Virgil van Dijk, Konate, up at night. Again, I say this knowing that he can eat anything that can happen on any given day, but it's not like, I thought at the weekend, for example, going in against Munoz, oh, that could be an issue there, or Mateta for Palace. There's lads you think, oh, you know, they're in good form, they're scoring goals. Everton strikers actually aren't in form. Their goals are going to have to come from midfield if they're going to probably, you would think.
Centre-halves.
The thing. Yeah. Like, I was literally, the goal we conceded against Fulham was just not winning individual battles. We got beat at the back post, and then there was two lads who had shots and one of them went in on the edge of our box. And that's my problem, is even if they do play Calvert-Lewin, if he's got the aerial presence to bully us, which we have been a little bit weak at the back, it's that simple. Our goals, they have been weak. And if they can bully us, then the likes of Calvert-Lewin is going to be good for that. It's a bit of a mad one. They don't have loads of goal scorers, and yet it seems against Liverpool he'll just find a way to still get massive opportunities. It's mad. And maybe that's just me worrying and everything that I think of in those 0-0 draws.
League, we haven't kept it's been ages since we kept the clean sheet. The only clean sheet he had was Atalanta. And that was in a game where they didn't have to score.
Liverpool need to make sure that they don't get bullied in individual battles all over the pitch, but especially with balls over the top and your set pieces. They are absolutely massive in this game of football, that you do not lose out on a first header. Like, you've got to win that
second
initial header
as well. Like, Decore is their top scorer,
Joint
top scorer with Calvert-Lewin, and he's the one I think who you can think, if someone's going to score a goal for Everton against Liverpool, you can see nod down, breaks the corner. That's how Fulham scored that way. Crystal Palace scored with a late run into the box.
He
as
did
well.
It at Watford as well, the Corvey, didn't he? He became sort of, that was his thing, like that, scoring
great,
goals.
But that's what he's, that's
he
what
arrives late in the box, he makes that run, he buys a ticket, if you like, he gambles. So yeah, I think he would be a threat, most definitely. But in terms of threats from Everton, I'm 100%, and it's mad, it's not often you can come into any game of football and immediately your attention reverts to the defenders and the centre-halves as being the main threat. But I'd say that's the case. I think Brentford fall into that category a little bit as well. The set pieces are such a weapon for them, and you've got to give them their due and their credit for that, because as much as it's not particularly pretty to watch, you know, if you find a way of scoring goals, you've got Tarkowski can be a threat from them, Bramthwaite a big lad as well, you mentioned Decore there, I think Onana can be a threat as well with his aerial prowess and his physicality. So Liverpool are going to have to be alert to that, and as much as we can sort of come into this game thinking, oh, we'll just out-football them, at times you're going to have to out-fight them as well and out-battle them. And if we can do that and get the fundamentals right, then you can be allowed. You have to earn the right to play football sometimes. And the best Liverpool teams of recent years, and indeed years gone by, have been teams that can beat you in any way. We'll have a fight with you, we'll play footy with you. It doesn't matter what you bring to the party, we're going to stand and go toe-to-toe. And we need to do that tomorrow night, otherwise we might not get the result that we want.
Let's talk about us then. We've just learned Diogo Jota is injured. He's out for 2 weeks. Jürgen Klopp's just confirmed. So you can add him to Conor Bradley and then obviously Mata Matiago, long-term injuries. But Jota actually is playing, but I don't think we'll see much of him in the Premier League. So the question remains, there's at least one force change there, Chloe, with no Jota, which is a big blow. Given the team that started at the weekend, he made a lot of changes to that team. Do you see him reverting back and bringing a lot of lads back in? What should he do? Because it was arguably the best performance we've had for a couple of weeks, but a lot of that was with what you'd call your big guns on the bench. So I wonder what the manager's thinking is here.
Yeah, it's what I'd do and what the manager would do are two different things, okay, to be perfectly honest. I'd bring Salah back in. I feel like he has to bring Salah back in because it's Mo Salah, especially now that Diogo Jota is injured. I would keep Cody Gakpo in the team. I just would. I think he's been our best attacker the last 3 weeks, and right. I think he's the one who will be able to pick the ball and drive.
Centre forward.
I would have played him off the left and put Jota up top, but now I'm going to have to play him centre forward. Well,
you could put Salah up front if you really wanted to.
I don't want to do that. I'd keep him on the right. I'd also look, I think Harvey Elliott has been unbelievable and I'd love to see him start midfield. It's not going to be him. Dominic Szoboszlai is going to start back in this game of football just for physicality, for the engine that he has, for the pressing. I think Jürgen Klopp will go back to him. You've got to play McAllister in the eight for me, which means you need Wataru Endo in there. And you know what? He's got a decision to make at centre-half, because I didn't mind Kwanzaa the other day. I really didn't. And Konate in his last 2-3 performances hasn't impressed me, but if you're looking at physicality, it would be Konate.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about the centre-back thing, because that is one to speak about. Yeah. That. I think Liverpool are better, I always said this, I think Liverpool are better with the ball when it's Kwanzaa over Konate.
Yeah.
But if it is going to be a big physical challenge, dog of a game, Calvert-Lewin lumped up to him, set pieces, it I mean, not Quandra's a big lad.
Like, he can handle himself.
Yeah, he can handle himself. Don't get me wrong. He's not, but Ibu's a different animal.
Yeah.
It feels like probably Konate's game.
I would say so, yeah. I think if you're going into it expecting that physical challenge and that sort of aerial threat that we are doing, that bombardment a little bit at times, potentially from Everton as well, I think Konate is the pick. And as I said there, Quandra's more than capable of dealing with that and coming out of it 100%. But I make you right as well. I think when Liverpool have expected to dominate possession and have the lion's share of the ball, Quandra's probably a pick right now. He's defensively solid enough as well, don't get me wrong, but he is the better on the ball of the two of them. So yeah, I'd be Konate for this. And ultimately, when it boils down to, you know, if you're naming your best 11, which we are obviously in the realms of doing now, because this is five finals for all intents and purposes as well, Konate is still in that. As brilliant as Quandra's been, like, this is Ibu Konate on his best day, the best version of him, is one of the best defenders, not just in the league, in Europe essentially. So he is the pick, and he's been out of form, making no two ways about it. He's been out of form, but if Ibu Konate gets back to his best level, he'll walk away from that game having dealt with Dom Cavalu and all that, whoever it is.
I'd pick Quandra.
Would you?
Yeah, 100%.
Based on Konate's form?
Just waiting on the ball all the time.
No, but they're... Yeah, but Konate's fine on the ball.
No, he's not.
He's not great. He's fine on the ball.
I'd say teams let him have the ball.
They do. They very much do.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. But that's because he's the lesser of two evils. And the other one is brilliant. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, but I thought the other day...
He's not that he's bad, necessarily.
I don't think he's great. I think Quantas quicker with it. Like,
absolutely, Quantas better.
It's more... If I feel like Ibu, and this needs a centre back, like, he's on his game, but like, he has to stop, pick his pass, look. I think Quandra's a bit more react. And I think this game, the slower the tempo,
we're gonna need that. Okay.
Well, the slower the tempo suits Everton, and I'd back Quandra to be able to deal with Calvert-Lewin as well. I will go Quandra, but I agree. I think the manager will go Konate. Trenton, Robbo, plays.
Unless
he goes Gomez. I don't see that. I guess maybe it'll depend how Trent rocks up. There are three games going in 6 days. It is worth mentioning.
I'm not asked. Trent, at the end of the season,
Trent can do it.
He hasn't played 90 yet.
Yeah, but he's your first sub, isn't he? I'd rather have him on for 60 than have him on for 30 at the end. And by the time you have him on for 30, it, depending on the score, look, Everton don't score a lot, but it's Liverpool, and it's a Merseyside derby, and you don't want him coming on with 30 to go, having to get into the swing of things in the game. That can take, you know, 10 minutes alone. And there's so much more pressure on you for those 30 minutes to try and get a goal. And also, depending on who starts the game, you might be bringing Trent on, but you might be bringing, I don't know, Diaz off or Cody Gakpo off, or the two players who you'd really want to actually stay on the pitch with Trent.
He started it. Give him as long as he can.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I think that's fair enough. Midfield, you just said Endo, Szoboszlai, McAllister. I think it'll be that, Dan.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be my choice. What would it be yours?
Yeah, it would be my choice. That they sort of, they're the only conversation around all of this, really, the interlying with my view, my preference, and what I think Klopp will do. I think he'll go with Taro Endo because he wants that extra bit of physicality, that extra bit of put your foot in where it hurts and try and win the ball back, because it will be a physical battle in there at 100%, certainly for the first hour. If you need or you want to add a bit more creativity later on in the game, you can do. You've got options there, dropping McAllister back and stuff like that. So Boz, like, he's a really tricky one, because he's probably in the worst form, I'd say. He's in a conversation with potentially Nunes and Salah right now when it comes to the big key players for Liverpool not playing well. He's definitely one of them. However, he's a brilliant footballer first and foremost, and also, as Chloe said there, the physicality that he offers and that extra bit of that hybrid of having the engine, the pressing, and the ability to go shoulder to shoulder with some lads like Onana, Doucouré, the physical side of things that Everton are going to bring, plus the quality on the ball. He feels like the perfect match. Curtis Jones, I don't think he's playing particularly brilliantly either. He offers good balance to this side, but I'm not sure he's the pick here. And as much as I adore the lad, and I think he's had a brilliant, brilliant season for Harvey Elliott, and when it comes to end of season honours and all that sort of stuff, he's definitely worthwhile being in the conversation. He does lack that physicality, and this is a game, to me, that we're going to need it. As much as I think Liverpool will dominate possession, there are going to be times in this game whereby we're going to need to stand up and be counted. And Harvey Elliott never lacks for trying, don't get me wrong, but I've always half backed this game. Bournemouth away, Philip Billing, it's just a mismatch ultimately, you know what I mean? And Philip Billing just out-muscled him, out-manoeuvred him time and time again. Harvey Elliott tried and tried and tried. He'll go all day long for you, but sometimes you're just not strong enough against your opponent, and that's where I fall down. So I would go with that midfield.
I'd pick Elliott. What do you think?
I'd like to see Elliot, but it will
I wouldn't
be...
pick... I think it'll be Szoboszlai McCarthy, yeah, though. I've got no...
You have no issue whatsoever with... And listen, Javier, I love you, but...
I'm absolutely fine with it, because I don't think Szoboszlai's playing that well.
One thing I will say, actually, we did go Elliot and Carvalho once with Goodison Park. Didn't work. Don't get me wrong.
I think I will go Elliot. I just think Szoboszlai's in Pornich.
No, he is. He's playing really poorly.
Yeah. I mean, and Jones is the other option. Usually when the manager loves Curtis
Jones is the middle ground between the two conversations we're having here.
He is. But once again, I don't think he's sharp enough at the moment
time. He hasn't come back.
Looking at the sharpest player, it's Harvey Elliott.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the most physical, it's Szoboszlai.
And what does Klopp want here?
I think physicality, which is why I think it'll be Szobo. I'd love to see Harvey Elliott, because I think, you know, and at some point you will see him. He will most definitely make it on the pitch.
And if it was Harvey, you know,
wouldn't be bothered.
At all. No, the position he takes up is really intelligent movement in between the lines, all that sort of stuff. No issue whatsoever. It's just if it does become an absolute dogfight, which Everton will try with all their might to make it, that's when you think, okay, now this is going to be difficult. You know what I mean? Whereas if you've got Szoboszlai on the pitch, you know, get yourself a guy who can do both. He is that guy.
Absolutely. Then from three, Supernova says, from three picks itself for me, Gakpo, Darwin, Salah. I mean, leaving Luis Diaz out is
I think I might have to do that, actually.
Is something. If you're on form...
Gakpo's got to be left winger now that I think about it.
Has suited on the left. Yeah. I think the manager is going to go...
Diaz,
Salah, Nunes.
Yes.
Really?
I wouldn't. I think that's what he's going to do.
I think Gakpo might be in the realms of being undroppable.
Yes. Yeah. I think... No matter, I'd love to play him out on the wing. Like when you mentioned earlier, and I said he's going to have to be centre forward because I don't think Jürgen would drop Diaz. No. I thought if Jota was still available, I thought he might have gave Diaz a little bit of a rest.
Yeah,
however, now that Jota's not available, I think he has to go Diaz again.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he has to. I think that's what he will do, which means that Gakpo goes centre forward. But actually, I'd love to see Gakpo on the left wing.
Will there be space in behind for Darwin Nunes to exploit?
No, not even a single
I can't sit in here right now. I don't see that being a thing. So therefore,
he's going to be sat down on row one.
Box. Yeah, exactly.
So do you remember last time Luis Diaz faced Ashley Young? Did not go that well.
Yeah,
he
absolutely rinsed him. I predicted it in the Umbu. Yeah, within like 10 minutes, he was gone. Two yellows.
He got him off the pitch. All kinds going on. Seamus Coleman's out. It might go somewhere else. I think Patterson's out as well for Everton. They've got a few issues at right back. If it is actually Young again, well, passing is out. He had a bad injury, didn't he?
You
surgery.
Got
so
Diaz, haven't you?
It's not too tore him to bits last time. It would be a little bit like mad. Not it's just like going to the exact same to him again. He ripped him apart. He had him off the pitch, and he was lucky that he wasn't sent off a little bit earlier. Maybe.
Yeah, he dragged it down the halfway.
Yeah, he didn't give the penalty,
then he kicked the ball away straight after. I think off top of me.
And we didn't get the penalty. Remember before we scored later on as well. It was all over the shop. So.
He must have fouled him three or four times in the first 10 minutes and went for two of them. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think Diaz has to play. I mean, Gakpo is equally adept at doing that, but.
Well, Gakpo's starting up top for me. I'm not starting Nunes.
I agree. I think Gakpo's movement and that Firmino-esque, and I say this almost every show, it feels like now, but his ability to drop deep and drag defenders with him could be imperative in all of this.
Everton won't go there, mate.
Do you think Everton just don't follow him?
Not a chance. No. Do you think
that's a really difficult thing to do, though. What I say, if you're the centre-half and you want someone up against you, you want someone, maybe not running behind, that can become nightmarish. When you've got somebody going the other way, the temptation to just go with him is massive.
By the way, I agree with you. JD says a good point. Ashley Young was trying to get himself sent off against Forrest so he wouldn't have to face Lucho. He was poor. He got really lucky against Forrest.
Sure, they gave a couple of pens away.
Absolutely. And I do wonder, Dan, if refs are looking at it going, I always think they even things up across games. And I do wonder, he got away with probably one, probably two.
Yeah.
I think one Stonewall, one debatable.
Yeah.
I wonder, you've got to just go at him. That's got to be Liverpool's game plan. I think Diaz or Gakpo, whoever it is, actually Young target on his back.
Yeah, absolutely. Liverpool could well be the benefactors of Forrest missing out on a couple of bits there, 100%. Yeah, and I think Ashley Young, he's not only is he a makeshift right back, you know what I mean, and he's obviously 37, 38 now, so there's two things going against him there.
To play three games.
Exactly. He was a winger in a past life. He was very attack-minded winger, certainly at Watford, and then obviously Manchester United as well. He did a little bit of wing-back stuff, don't get me wrong, but yeah, he has to be the one. He was the one in the game at Anfield, and obviously paid dividends there by getting him sent off. So yeah, I think whether it be Nunes, Gakpo, Diaz, whoever, essentially Andy Robertson, even on the overlap, just causing nightmares time and time again.
Who would you put up top then?
Gakpo.
Yeah, same.
I'd be Salah, Gakpo, Diaz.
I I think I agree, but I think he'll pick Nunes.
He might pick Nunes, but I'd go with
that. I think Nunes has to be...
Nunes feels...
Stretch the game later on.
I agree, if Nunes feels like a West Ham away type player on that big pitch.
Bigger pitch.
Maybe, but we'll see how it goes. To put it very quickly into context, then obviously this game, we talk about how massive it is, Dan. All right, I don't want to speak too much about Chelsea-Arsenal because it is tonight, or Arsenal-Chelsea rather, but if Liverpool are looking for their rivals to drop points... Arsenal v Chelsea tonight, and then Manchester City going to Brighton. Who knows? Like they might not, of course. Chances are they both win, but we're back in this mode again.
Can Cole Palmer be available? That's what I really need.
Get a lump zip in your son.
He'll be absolutely fine. He'll be on the pitch. I'm sure he will be. And then obviously, this feels like one of the games where somebody or someone could. There's three. I think I'd be quite surprised if Liverpool, Arsenal, and City all won.
That's exactly the same thing.
Midweek. That feels.
Sadly, it could be us. No, that is the problem.
I think it could be Liverpool.
Might very well be.
And just as equally, all three could win all three games. That would shock me most, to be honest with you. These three games feel absolutely packed of jeopardy for all of the sides involved.
Would you rather go first?
Probably, I would. But then going ahead to City is also good news. So I don't hate it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, this feels like a really significant week to me. And listen, ultimately, a lot of people at home watching this or wherever they're watching this will be saying Liverpool just take care of their own business, which is correct. However, having said that, we'd be silly if we didn't look at the other fixtures.
We've got to rely on someone else.
Exactly. Well, of course we do. That's the world we're living in. I think there is definitely the possibility that somebody else, one of our rivals, drops points this week. We just need, if we win our game, then sound, happy days. But I do think there's a prospect. If it's not Arsenal and then we take care of our business, that only leaves one side, doesn't it? It's got to be them. So
it does feel like a massive week. It does feel like it isn't the worst time for Arsenal to be playing Chelsea at the Emirates. Cole Palmer's ill, and maybe not in sense. They've just been slogged around Wembley by Manchester City. Should have won that game.
They were really good, though. If you could just replicate that and not have Nicholas Jackson trying to finish off your chances.
That's the issue. They haven't got any strikers. And they picked up a couple of injuries.
Did he? Drogba backed him this morning, I've seen on Twitter, though. So he might be feeling himself. Yeah,
I'd get him back. Can he play in this
one?
Yeah, that's a good point. He might have a better chance.
But obviously, European exertions from last week, which is something we fell foul of as well, of course. But it does feel like all of us, a little bit, are sort of teetering. And I know both us and Arsenal and Manchester City in the FA Cup, of course, won over the weekend. But I'm not quite sure that all of us going, okay, we're back now, flexing our muscles. It does feel like a bad result is still only around the corner for one, potentially two of these three sides. We just can't afford it to be us, basically.
Absolutely. So we need to get our job done. And Chloe, do you think they will? Think they'll win? Neil Jones predicted a draw, by the way, on Genoa Insider.
I predicted a draw 3 weeks ago.
Well, that's okay. What, 3 weeks ago? I need Chloe now.
Does Neil know how critical that is at this point?
Yeah.
He's very much aware.
Oh, yes. Wow, okay.
We all know the stakes. It's a prediction, not a hope. I think they'll win, but I think it'll be 1-0.
You're conceding.
Okay.
You think?
I don't trust us defensively, sadly.
Dan?
Sorry, I think 2-0, Liverpool.
Come on.
1-1.
I should have done you last. 1-0. There you go. I'm not ending on a 1-1.
Sorry.
There you go.
Wait, if you want me, right, that's what I...
That's fine. No,
reality, that's what reality tells me. 3-0 the Reds, if you want a bit of optimism, I can lie to you.
Keep scoring.
I'm happy to lie. Cody Gakpo.
Now, come on.
Cody Gakpo. And no word too.
Thanks, Chloe. Thanks for lying to us for the last
few
minutes.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. Right, if you guys, of course, want to keep an eye out on the game, we'll be live on the Watch Along. Me and Dan will be on Watch Along duty this week, so yeah, looking forward to that one. If you're in and around Liverpool or in the local area and you want to go and watch the game with Paul and Chris, we have got tickets available. Go to Box Park Liverpool, if you just Google it and find it. Paul and Chris are live before the game. Keogh's performing as well, so the new Box Park is open in Liverpool City Centre if you want to get down there for the match as well. Tickets are available. I think if you buy a ticket, it just gets you a space in the place, basically, because you get a drink back, which is effectively almost the same price. So get yourselves involved there as well. But yeah, if you're not going there and you're not going to Goodison Park, do come and check out the Watch Along with me and Dan. We'll be live at what time's kickoff?
8:15.
Quarter to seven for the Uncensored Match Builder, and 7:45 for the entirety of the watch along. Chloe will be at Goodison as well undercover because Evertonians hate her. Well, is that why you've said 1-1? Because you're scared they're going to Goodison. I'm on it.
No. We'll have a bad word said about the Everton lot. Honestly,
Chloe's been singing Zed Cars all morning. trying to fit into it. We'll have loads and loads of content for
that's
the
why
derby.
You've been wooing. Now it makes sense.
Woo! Thanks very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening, guys. See you all later. See you in a bit.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.